Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 305. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's talk a little Mets for a second as they take care of the Nationals in extra innings. 2-1. And obviously the biggest news really, I suppose, is that Lindor and his back, he got it checked out. No structural damage. But I don't know. Like, it's good news that there's not an issue, I suppose, or a structural issue. But, I mean, this is a guy who plays every day, right? As we were having the MVP discussion, and everybody was mad at me and calling me up and yelling about how, you know, he plays every day and Otani doesn't play the field and all that stuff. Not to rehash that argument, but it's true. He plays every day. And he has been an Iron Man. And for him to try to play that game the other day, have to be taken out and not feel good enough to go out there and play, and talking about 3 days, 5 days, I don't know when he's going to be back. I don't know when. So this team has got to figure out a way to get wins, check, in last night's game, which is really just a, you know, when you're playing the Nationals and you're playing, you know, Irvin again, as, you know, Jake Irvin shut you down the last time he faced you in July. Now he's pitching well against you last night. Like, someone's got to step up. You got to figure out a way to get wins, which they did. And Iglesias has been incredible for this team. He comes through with the big hit to tie the game off of a Taylor double to start the inning. And then Iglesias, these are the guys who came through. And then, of course, in extra innings, after the bullpen continues to do a good job, and Manaea pitched another great game, and the Mets were able to shut down the National lineup for most of the game. But someone's got to step up and score some runs. Someone's got to step up. And right now, Alonso, who did nothing in this game other than an infield single, which could have easily been called an error, right? Obviously, Vientos is slumping and was unable to beat out an infield grounder of his own, which was shocking in this game. But who's going to step up and score runs for the Mets? Because right now, as they go through it, like, they're not going to be able to win like this consistently. They're just not. The pitching has been on a miracle run. It's been incredible. And Manaea again. I mean, what was the stat to start the game? He's gone long. He's most consecutive starts in baseball going at least 6 2/3. I mean, 6 2/3 is rare in today's game. You want to talk about, the last caller mentioned what field goal kicking means. You want to talk about guys who go 7? Very rare. And he's just consistently giving you great performances. And you could have argued that he could have come out for the 8th inning in this game. I think he had, what, 85 to under 90 pitches after 7, could have easily come out for the 8th. Like, he's been incredible, and this pitching staff is on some hell of a run since really this month and maybe a little more than that, and dating back to June. But this level of greatness over the last 2 or 3 weeks has been remarkable. And it's hard to imagine that this team is going to be able to continue to win these games like this and have clutch hits from Iglesias and Taylor provide the offense. Like, they are going to have to find a way to get someone. And you know who we got to talk about. It's got to be, you know, Pete Alonso. You need it from Vientos. I don't know who's going to step up. But this offense has got to be better. But last night, they get the victory. Iglesias comes through in the 8th inning with a big hit up the middle off the pitcher to score Taylor and tie the game at 1. And then really, I mean, the pitching staff in the bullpen, whether it was Buto came in, who hasn't been pitching well, and he was incredible in this game, 3 strikeouts, and Reed Garrett, who's been much better, he comes through and gets you out of the top of the 10th without giving up that run. So all you have to do is get a runner in from second. And really, everything about this game, it started weird with a weird lineup where they played Garcia. Alvarez. I knew he had the same name. They played Alvarez in this lineup at second base instead of playing Acuna, who came up and got two hits in his, you know, major league debut, played very well. You would have liked to have seen him at shortstop, but the lineup's a little bit weird. Whatever the case may be, Mendy has done that all year. He's been mixed matching in the lineup, you know, moving guys around. Vientos slumping for a little bit. He goes right down to six. Like, they have really, you know, Mendy has done a good job of rewarding hitters and putting them up in the lineup. And right now, you've got J.D. Martinez, who's done absolutely nothing. Pete Alonso continues to do absolutely nothing. Vientos was having a great year, but ice cold. Like, they need these guys. Nimmo, who just missed a three-run home run in this game, just foul on the right field post. Like, these guys have got to step up. They've got to find a way to score runs, because I'm telling you, they're not going to make it through the stretch. It's one thing to take down the Nationals last night. They are not going to do it through the four games in Philadelphia against better pitching with this lineup this ice cold. Someone's going to have to step up. Now, they win the game. They move on. I don't know when Lindor is back. They continue to pitch incredibly well. They got enough clutch hits in this game. They have a little bit of that magic. There's no doubt about it. There's something about this team, right? You've been feeling it for a while. Obviously, Grimace. And he's got his seat out in what section of the ballpark? Would you know where it is, Fleegs, where the Grimace seat 302. Is? 302. Grimace is out there in 302, a little purple seat. You know, the OMG and Iglesias, who's been incredible and is obviously now a key figure of this team with the McNeil injury. And he's just been unbelievable. I mean, so many different things. Taylor and his what he's done for you. I mean, he's gone through cold slumps. He's not, you know, a devastating hitter, but he finds a way to impact games. He hits the home run the other day, even though they lose that game, but he hits the home run in Philadelphia. He gets the leadoff double in this game. Iglesias comes through. Like, that's nice and all, but I've been saying this forever, you need your best players to perform. And right now, J.D. Martinez is ice cold. And right now, Pete Alonso just continues to not be able to. He starts the ninth inning with a strikeout in this game. Like, he has done nothing. Nothing. He has got to come through. He's got to figure something out. Vientos having a great year. It's hard to kill him, but you can't be ice cold right now. Like, you feel like the pitching isn't great. Even the bullpen's coming around a little bit. It was nice to see Buto really perform well and strike out the three hitters he faced. Reed Garrett's worked himself back into being a reliever you can trust. Diaz has been better, and you feel better about him closing out the games. But I mean, this offense, it was a snooze fest. They had one rally in the fourth inning where, again, they had the infield single from Alonso, and then Vientos hits a roller up the third baseline, unable to beat it out, which, I mean, I don't know if you were watching the game. It really seemed like, oh, that's a base hit. They were going to tie the game. There was a runner at third, bases loaded, little infield dribbler that looked like it wasn't anywhere near fast enough play made by the pitcher to get Vientos out, but he was unable to beat it out, and that was like really it. Then Vientos hits a double play the next time after Nimmo gets hit in front of him. Like, Vientos has got to be a driving force. We talked about him being one of the better offensive third basemen in the sport. He's got to be the guy. Right now, they need their best hitters in the lineup, because I don't know how long this magical run of starting pitching can continue. I just don't know. And you can't consistently have this offense that doesn't come through in clutch situations, and especially without Lindor. And again, he could be back tomorrow. I mean, I think they're going to give him at least this Washington series, but he could be back for the Philadelphia series. He might not be back for a week. He might not be. I mean, who knows? If this guy can't play, you know it's bad. Like, I understand there's nothing structural wrong. That's fine. I get it. If he can't play, Lindor plays. If he's not playing right now, you know he's banged up. You know it. Right now, with everything on the line, with their season on the line, this MVP year he's had, dragging the team to this point, if he can't even get out there, you know he's in pain. So I don't know when he's coming back. They have got to figure out a way to be better offensively. This team that dragged themselves to this position, doing it offensively. I know the pitching's been good for a while, but they did this mashing. That's how they got here. You know, from that walk-off home run from J.D. Martinez to the point where they were playing Atlanta in a four-game set ready to take over the first wild card spot, they did it just absolutely mashing starting pitching. And now it feels like every game is scoreless into the seventh. I just don't know right now, even though they're a game up, even though Atlanta's clearly banged up, I just don't know how long you can continue to win games 2-1 against the Nationals. I don't know how long you can go without Alonso being an impactful player. Like, they've got to do better offensively if they want to finish this off. They just have to. But they come through just enough. The little bit of magic, the little bit of OMG comes through. He gets Iglesias gets the big hit. And then in the ninth, you get Starlin Marte with the base hit down the line to win the game. It would have been an interesting, you know, they pinch ran Vientos. I saw Fliegelman texting about this. You know, you got to give it to Mendy. He's aggressive. He is certainly aggressive. So in the extra innings with the runner on second, it's Vientos. They pinch run for him, and that leaves them only the backup catcher and Lindor on the bench. And you know they're not going to use Lindor. So when you pinch run for Vientos, who's going to play third? And I guess Mendy said in the postgame that Torrens was going to end up playing second base if they got that far. But you know what? You got to go win the game right there. They're being aggressive. They need these games. This is the season. You can't slip up against the Nationals. And right now, the offense has just got to do better. Although they did get the victory last night, they're doing enough to pitch well. It's been remarkable. Manaea, again, with all his different arm angles, like, he's just been incredible. I don't know if anybody saw this coming where he's pitching like an ace right now. And he's not intentionally walking anybody. 888-808-1019. So let's talk a little bit of Mets. Their victory last night, it's a good, solid win. They pitched well. They came up with a couple of clutch hits late in the game. They have that little bit of magic. But right now, there are too many outs in this lineup. And these games go the same way every night. I mean, every night, it's scoreless. It's 1-0 in the sixth. Matt in Manhattan. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, hey. As a Yankees and Giants fan, football Giants, yes. It's funny. Like a month ago, I couldn't wait for football season to start because watching the Yankees every day was just becoming annoying. And now, that's all I care about because the Giants are so bad.
Yep.
They've found the place. They found the worst place in the NFL, which is not rebuilding. It's waiting until you can rebuild.
Yep.
And that it's so frustrating. And the thing is, if the front office and the coach had so little confidence in Daniel Jones, and I know this is obviously much easier said than done. You've talked about it many times in your show, but couldn't they have found a way to maybe not win a few of those meaningless games last year and got the quarterback they wanted? Because they clearly don't want the guy they have. And this is just perpetuating the state of waiting to rebuild.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I was making this argument last October and November, and everybody was yelling at me. Where were you then? Where were you to call me up then, Matt, and defend my honor?
I did, actually. Okay, well, thank you. We've agreed on this.
Yeah, I just don't. I
pulled the plug on last year, actually, a couple weeks before you did.
There is nothing worse than purgatory inside the NFL. Like, that's where they've been. And part of it is because they gave the quarterback the contract. They can get out from it this year. You're 100% right. Like, and it might cost the coach's job, the GM's job. I don't know, but I can tell
you.
No one's
acting like their jobs are in jeopardy. I have to say.
Well, how do you act like that? What is he? Well, I mean, he's getting mad at the questions in the post game. Like, I mean, I don't think they want to lose. I'm telling you right now. I think they view it differently than me and you. But I could tell you right now. Like, if they somehow, what I want them to do is turn this season around. Show me, like, if I had a.
I want Daniel Jones to be great.
I mean, that's it. If I had my wish would be Daniel Jones figures it out and becomes a franchise quarterback good enough to win a Super Bowl with. And that somehow he figures it out. They rally. They have a season. They don't have to win the Super Bowl this year, but they have a good year, make it to the playoffs or something, and you feel like, hey, this team's on the up and up. The defense figures it out. Like, that's what I want. But what I don't want is the 6 wins. What I don't want is the 7 wins where they pulled out a miracle or they blocked a kick or the defense made a pick six in a big spot or Daniel Jones had the one good game or whatever the case may be. Because you're right, where does it put them then? Now you're talking about doing something like what Minnesota did where you draft a young kid later in the draft and you sign Sam Darnold or you do something like that. Like, Sam Darnold's played well and they've won 2 games, but really, what is Minnesota going to do with Sam Darnold? Like, they might have a nice little season. They're not going to win with Sam Darnold. I'd be surprised, but maybe. But, like, what are you going to do? Like, how do you get that quarterback? Who are you going to go pay? Like, we saw Cousins last night. He had a great game against Philadelphia. Like, do you think Cousins is going to lead Atlanta to the Super Bowl? Like, I don't. And they're paying him so much money. And they drafted a quarterback, too. Like, I don't even, it's so hard to understand, like, what the Giants are doing. Like, the Saquon Barkley conversation also leads into the what's the Giants' identity, right? That's been asked a lot because Saquon Barkley in the run game kind of was their identity. There's that famous clip in the Hard Knocks episode where, like, the scouting director, I apologize, I don't remember his name or exactly his title, but he's sitting there going, all right, well, say we lose Saquon. Like, what's our identity? Like, who are we? I mean, we're losing our touchdowns. We're losing our offense. Like, who are we? Daniel Jones is the quarterback, fine, but we got to make sure everything else is great around him. But, like, who are we going to be? And right now, I don't know who the Giants are. They don't have an identity. Losing is their identity. But not losing enough. It's just, it's amazing. It's such a miserable place to be. You're right. And if they had ping pongs, if this was a, you know, if they had a lottery, I wouldn't be doing this. They don't. There is a direct benefit to losing games on a dead season. It's just the way it is. Change the rules, I'll sign. That's not the way it is. The more games you lose, the more benefit you have in the draft to possibly get a game-changing player, a franchise-changing quarterback. That's what they're in desperate need of. They are. Now, could you get it anywhere else? Yeah. If you have a great roster, could you take on Purdy and maybe he's better than, obviously, certainly he's better than the last pick in the draft, but is he good enough even on a bad team to raise the game? Sure. Can you find those quarterbacks later in the draft? Yeah, I suppose. Good luck. Can you find Dak Prescott in the fourth round? Can you find Russell Wilson in the fourth round? Can you find, you know, Tom Brady famously in the sixth or seventh round? Sure. Yeah, if you want to win the lottery, maybe. But do you trust the Giants to draft like that and find that guy? I need them to have the best chance to take the best quarterback in the draft. Otherwise, like, what are we doing? It's just very frustrating where they are. And yeah, last year, everyone's applauding Tommy DeVito as he's winning these games. And I'm just like, great, we beat the Patriots. What did that do for us? Like, honestly, what did it do for us? And people will argue with me and they'll go, and by the way, I just want to preface this by saying, as much as I'll tell you the season's dead, I can't be into tank mode week 3. I am not. I am still hoping they win against Cleveland and turn this thing around. I can call the season dead, doesn't make it true. It feels that way. You still need more losses to definitively say it. It feels like they're dead. And I have no faith in them making the playoffs, but I can't. I just can't. Even I have limits. I am not at the tank the season just yet. I feel very firmly we're going to get there. But I get people, you know, later in the season calling me up, oh, what kind of fan are you? More than just Brett in Long Island, but like, what kind of fan are you? You got to root for the team to win. It's embarrassing. You know, you let them win and see where the chips fall. And I'm tired of watching the chips fall. And just like the same people who I yelled about when I wanted them to lose the New England game, for that one, for whatever reason, that game jumps out at me is where there was pushback. It's Belichick. It's the Patriots. How could you possibly say you want to lose to the Patriots? Because it didn't mean anything to win. Like, do you remember the feeling of winning that game? Do you remember the score of that game? Do you remember any of the particulars of that game? What the hell did that game do for you? Like, in the moment, it got you satisfaction that you didn't have to rip your hair out or feel disgusted over dinner. Like, but that's it. No one remembers it. No one cares. No one's hanging their hat on it. No one even references it. I bet you half the audience doesn't even remember they played the Patriots. Like, who cares? Those games are meaningless. Meaningless. The Patriots are better off because they got the quarterback, and we'll see. They're already on there. They got a young coach. They've won a game that they shouldn't have won. They were in a game they probably shouldn't have been in. And they're playing with Jacoby Brissett right now, grooming a young quarterback they drafted at the top of the draft. And the Giants are hoping Daniel Jones doesn't get.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Where we are.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Y'all know me. Still the same. C-Mac, 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Yeah, I mean, a guy hitting me up on Twitter just real quick. We can still continue to take calls on Saquon Barkley if you want, but he leads the league. This is what I was just notified on Twitter. He leads the league since 2021 in drop passes at the running back position with 16. That is accurate. I'm not going to deny that. And, you know, if you want to, he's like, you could tell the Eagles, see, this is what you signed up for. Okay. Let's not pretend that that's the reason why the Giants didn't want to pay him. Are you saying that he's not a Giant because he dropped too many passes and didn't make enough plays? Like, really? Like, let's just be honest. He was the only one making plays. Like, I'm glad he's not here. I am. Not because he stinks, not because he wouldn't make the Giants better, but because he wouldn't make them much better because the team stinks around him. And it just doesn't justify paying the running back position that kind of money. That's how I feel. But, like, let's not make it seem like it's about those drops. Like, ha-ha, now you deal with it. You deal with it. The guy scored 3 touchdowns last week. He was the Giants' best player by a mile. That's not why. It's not like, oh man, I was so glad to see them get rid of Saquon Barkley. All those drop passes. Stop. Stop. There's no. And listen, maybe I wouldn't feel this way if the Giants were 2-0. If the Giants won a game. If the Giants didn't look like one of the worst teams in the NFL through 2 weeks, maybe I'd say something different. But they do. They do. And Philadelphia owns the Giants. Owns them. The Eagles constantly beat the crap out of us. And it doesn't matter who the quarterback is or who the running back is. Boston Scott scores touchdowns every time he plays against the Giants. Jeff Garcia beats them in playoff games. Vince Young goes down the field in the fourth quarter to break their hearts. It doesn't matter. When Saquon Barkley drops a pass against the Giants that cost them a game, then we can gloat. Until then, let's just lick our wounds and hope the quarterback doesn't get hurt. That's about all we got. You know, the other thing I wanted to talk about briefly, I didn't get a chance to talk about it much yesterday. I just mentioned it. But you know me, the Yankee shill. I don't feel like shilling for Gerrit Cole, though, because what happened on Saturday was embarrassing. I still can't get over it. The idea that a New York Yankee ace making $36 million coming off a Cy Young Award winning season, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, whether you want to believe that or not at the moment, I know Yankee fans, you know, are upset with him. That's what he is. He's one of the most durable, even though he's been hurt this year, and he's one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball. And last year, he was the best pitcher in all of baseball. For that guy to allow himself to be afraid of anyone is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And that's what it is. It's straight up fear. And it makes no freaking sense to me. I know he's got him in every different way. I know he's killed him. And we, as the fans, like, let's be honest too, we'll scream and cry. Not me, because I never, you know, I'm above all this, of course. But a lot of the fans are like, enough, stop pitching to him. Stop, why are we letting Devers beat us? And he's killed him. So I put this strictly on Gerrit Cole. This is not, I know we all love to take our shots at Boone, the organization, we can't stand them. I have zero problem with Boone, Cole, whomever, having a discussion heading into the game saying, you know what, we're going to be more aggressive, as Boone put it in the postgame, in picking our spots with Devers. And maybe it won't just be, you know, up two runs in the seventh or eighth inning with two outs and second base with a runner on second and first base open. That's an obvious spot to pinch around him and walk him. Maybe we'll be more aggressive in trying to get around him. Plus, you have long at-bats against him. You know, we're trying to save the bullpen, get you deeper into the game. Maybe we'll be a little bit more aggressive. I have no problem with that conversation being had. And I don't know exactly what they talked about in the tunnel right before that inning. But here's what I know. If Aaron Boone and Gerrit Cole had the plan to walk him with nobody on and an out after he got out Durant, then Aaron Boone would have called for the walk. Gerrit Cole flat out just didn't want to face him. I don't know if he hit him on purpose or not in the first at-bat, but it's kind of fishy that he hits him with a cutter on the first at-bat and then in the second bat has absolutely zero interest in pitching to him. This is Gerrit Cole. He doesn't pitch well against the Red Sox. He doesn't pitch well against the Mets, and he completely gave up against Devers. And all of this would be, I suppose, okay. Wouldn't be okay with me. I'd be pissed about this no matter what. But if he gets the next two guys out and gets out of the inning, no one cares, and it's probably viewed as a smart move. And we're having a discussion about it. But because he allowed himself to completely unravel when he was hitless through the first three and a third, and then completely mentally evaporated in front of us, he has a lot to do now to gain our trust in a big spot. I'm sorry, it just does. Now, I know the Red Sox are unique and Devers is unique. We've seen Naylor kind of own him before, right, with Cleveland. Now, he's not Devers, but still. That was an unacceptable move from the ace of the staff, who we're supposed to have confidence in game one. We're supposed to feel like this is our guy, and when he's on the mound, we win. And he gave up. He decided not to take on a challenge. I'm sorry. That's on him. I don't care what the plan is. I don't care. And now people say, oh, it proves he doesn't respect the manager. No, they had a plan about being more aggressive with Walkenham. He viewed that to be in the parameters of the plan and made a decision. And Aaron Boone, in my opinion, was 100% correct not to change that decision. He made it very clear he doesn't want to pitch to him. Now Aaron Boone's supposed to go out there and convince him to do something he doesn't want to do. And now he's, what if he, like, and it's not even so much, oh, even if he gives up a home run, it's only one run. Yeah, no doubt. That's totally true. That's why you pitched to him in the first place. But the minute the pitcher decides, hey, I'm not pitching to him, I want no part of it, if you go out there and force him to do it, make it seem clearly like, hey, you're Garrett Cole. What the hell is this? Like, and it's totally on you. But I say, like, if you make a big thing of it on the mound, convince him to do something he doesn't want to do, and then he gets beat, he might mentally wilt right there. Like, but you make a conviction, you're our guy, you're the ace. Okay, don't pitch to him. You better get the next two guys out. And he didn't. This is not on Cashman. It's not on Boone. It's not on anybody else but Garrett Cole. That's his domain. That's his game. He's the ace and the starting pitcher. Plain and simple. And I don't care what the plan is or what they discussed. He walked away from a challenge in a situation where it made no sense to, just because he didn't want to bother with it. And it bothers the hell out of me. And it makes me question him in a big spot. There's no doubt. He's been there before. People always say, well, what has Garrett Cole ever done? Garrett Cole pitched great in the 2020 playoffs. He wasn't dominant. He didn't completely, throw nothing but zeros. But he was very good in the 2020 playoffs. He was miserable in the wild card game. And then he was great against Cleveland and helped win them that series in 2022. Garrett Cole has been, for the most part, a money pitcher for the New York Yankees. But now, to me, he's got to prove it. And I'm hoping that you get the best of it, because best of him, because he's pissed off and he's embarrassed, and he should be. It was embarrassing. Now the Yankees bounced back and won the game. That took a lot. If they would have lost that game, oh my God! I'm telling you right now, the feeling around this team right now, if they would have lost that Sunday game against the Red Sox and split that series, it would have felt like all the vibes had been washed away by that despicable display of fear. And while I do think Alex Cora is a clown for trying to manifest some sort of run out of it, that's what, managers are going to try and do what they're going to do. It failed him. His team didn't respond. I think he is so overrated, it's not funny. I think Boone absolutely outmanaged him in this series. Absolutely outmanaged him at every turn. Other than the walk, which, again, I put on Cole. But the fact of the matter is they came back, they won, and now Cole, for me, he better be freaking lights out moving forward. He better demand that of himself. Because the fan base is questioning him, rest of Major League Baseball is questioning him. He put himself in a position to have his mental toughness questioned by not only us, but the rest of Major League Baseball, by any team that opposes him. And it's an easy fix, shut everybody down. But until he does that, that's literally the position he put himself in. And I don't think that's overstating it. I really don't. If this were Marcus Stroman, and not Marcus Stroman, but he's a fourth starter, a fifth starter, and right now he might be the Yankees sixth starter, whatever the case, like if someone like that who relies on soft contact and you want to pitch around somebody like that in that situation, I still think it makes no sense with nobody on, but okay. The ace of the staff can't do that. I believe in the term ace, and I believe it carries weight throughout the organization. I believe Garrett Cole carries weight throughout the organization. And he ran away, and he hid. He wanted no part of a challenge. I know the guy's got the better of you, and nobody would have blamed you if this were the eighth inning or something, and you want to just, you're trying to win games, and the guy owned you, and it happens all the time. There are great pitchers who've just been owned by lesser hitters than Devers. Right? Enrique Wilson for the Yankees owned Pedro Martinez to the point they were giving him starts in the postseason. It happens. He wouldn't have walked Enrique Wilson with nobody on in the fourth. Not Pedro. Ugly. Embarrassing. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Oh, my favorite topic, fear. That was pure fear. Wait, you got it. You, the way he did it, he said, go ahead, take the base. That's disgusting, Chris.
Yeah, I was very, I mean... I mean, I'm trying not to make too big a deal out of it because, again, they won the game.
Yeah,
I still believe in Cole, but I mean, that's just, I just couldn't believe he did it. Yeah, I can't believe he did it.
No, I couldn't believe he did. Come on. Did that, as I call him.
And then again, like maybe
Daddy afraid of Enrique Wilson?
Yeah.
No.
And maybe I would have been.
Martinez,
if he gets the next. If O'Neal hits into a double play and they get out of it, and then maybe at the end of the game they go, we save bullets and all that stuff, I still would have hated the move. But
yeah,
the point, the major problem is then he unraveled and he gave up. He was cruising. He was throwing the ball great. The only guy who reached base was Devers on the hit by pitch through 3 1/3. Right. He was throwing the ball great. And he figured, I'm good enough today where I'll get everybody else out. I'm not messing around with Devers. And it just then a fly ball double that just landed fair, and boom, he fell apart. Can't happen.
Yeah, and you know what? That's not acceptable.
I agree.
Not especially when you're a former Cy Young Award winner. And like I said, Pedro Martinez had guts. Pedro Martinez if he would have been a Yankee, oh my God, he would have been a legend. He might have had his number retired.
Well, I mean, he's in the conversation for one of the greatest pitchers of all time. I mean, he's a legend kind of already. But yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not saying Cole doesn't have guts. I'm not saying he's removed all of his guts or that I'm concerned he'll never be able to be great again. I'm just saying now he's got to show it. Now I need him this year in particular, coming off the injury. It's all, and you know, maybe next year's a clean slate. I'm not saying he can't be the ace forever, and we'll see if he opts out and if the Yankees. And let me just get to that just for a second, because people have a misconception about the opt out. If Gerrit Cole opts out at the end of the season, which he does have in his contract, the Yankees have to do is add 1 year at the same number. Right now, he had a 9-year, $36 million a year contract. If they add a 10th year at $36 million a year, it nullifies the opt-out. And I know I'm pissed at him right now. I can't imagine letting him go. Like, they need him too much. So for me, I'm not giving him a new contract. I'm just going to add that year. I don't know how you don't. I really don't know how you don't. I mean, I know he's coming off an injury this year, but he's been as... You know, it wasn't an elbow surgery. He didn't have Tommy John, and he's been as durable as any pitcher in the game. And I know he's getting up there in years, but it's a no-brainer. If he opts out, you add the 1 year and nullify the opt-out. That's what I would do, as frustrated as I am with him right now. But I'm not saying he can't pitch well. I expect him to pitch well. I'm not saying he doesn't have guts anymore. I'm just saying in that moment, he just said, I don't trust myself to get somebody out. That thought process that I don't trust that I can get this guy out. Like, how? I know he's owned you, but I think they, you know, he has struck him out like 15 times. Like, it's baseball, man. Even if he owned you, you're getting him out 6 times out of 10. And that's if he owned you. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It boggles the mind that happened. But again, thankfully they bounced back and won that last game of the series, because then it would have been an issue. Like, it really would have been an issue. But now they have a 3-game lead. Baltimore is awful. And they're heading on the West Coast to play a Seattle team that has floundered here and blown their division and blown their playoff standings. And then, of course, Oakland, which we know is Oakland. And then they'll get ready for what will be the most important series of the year, that Baltimore series. And hopefully they can head in where they are now, 3 games up, and make the O's sweep them just to tie. But pennant race baseball is fun, and it is upon us.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark the barrel, goes to one knee, genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Just got accused of not talking 2 hours and not a single mention of the Mets. I did, 17 minutes at 3 o'clock on the Mets. Feel free to call me at 888-808-1019 because that was a good win. Coming off back-to-back losses against Philadelphia, you could not afford to lose this game. It's a good solid win. Manaea has been, as I just got done talking about Cole and the ace, Manaea has been the ace of the staff. He's been the guy you want on the mound. He's been the guy who's just given you 6 2/3 at least every single time out there. He limited the Nationals to one run in this game on a double and a base hit in the fourth. And I mean, it's just, for me, it's one of those relief wins. You had to have it. You can't afford to lose that game. A 3-game losing streak right now would be, tough to take, especially, one of them being against the Nationals. But that doesn't change the fact that, I'm tired of saying it, but Pete Alonso, he's the guy I'm looking at. And I'm not alone. I know that. I'm not telling you I'm reinventing the wheel here. But Pete Alonso, his season can still be, it won't be a good season. And I'm not sure how. I don't care about his contract. I don't really care how, I don't know if how the Met fan feels about him anymore because I feel like it's just over. It's at the point where I don't think the Met fans want him back. Almost every Met fan I talk to, at the very least, would be fine with him leaving. It started out the season in a much different tone. Why haven't you paid him already? You got the most money in as any owner. But now it just feels like they'd be fine with losing him, at the very least. Most want him gone. But I still say that right now, Pete Alonso can absolutely change the narrative of this season if he steps up in the absence of Lindor. It's almost even better for him when I say better for him, I'm saying easier for him to change the narrative. To do it without Lindor. Because someone has to step up in the MVP's absence. Someone has to step up when the guy who's carried you all year, and there have been jokes, Lindor hurt his back carrying a polar bear all year. Like, the guy who carried this team needs a week. I don't know how long it's going to be. It might be the Philadelphia series. I have no idea. Again, I'm concerned. I don't know if he's gone for the year. I'm not saying he's got, I'm not Frank the Tank saying he's got spinal stenosis. There's nothing wrong with him, but he's got a back, and it's bad enough where this guy who plays all the time can't go out there. So, it could be 5 days. It could be a while. Someone's got to step up, and if it's Pete, and if he can get hot here and carry this team and hit some home runs and put together a stretch they were talking about on the broadcast, yeah, you could look at his numbers and they're not god-awful. He's got 32 home runs, his OPS is slightly above average. Like, he's been, he's had his moments. He's a slugger. He's going to hit some home runs. It's very hard to make a case that he's made a real impact with this team. I'm sorry, it just has. You watch him day in and day out. You watch the Mets day in and day out. Sure, he's got his home runs. And I think sometimes the idea of, everything, it's nothing but meaningless home runs. They used to say that about Alex Rodriguez too. It's nonsense. Not every one of Pete's 32 have been meaningless, but let's be fair. He does himself no help with getting rid of that stigma when he's hitting home runs off Cody Clemens. He's better off not hitting that home run than hitting a home run off Clemens. But if he can step up here down the stretch and get this team into the playoffs and then get hot in the playoffs, it changes completely how you feel about him. It's the gift. It's a gift that playoff teams are given. It's a gift that Yankee players for all those years were given. Your season, and Joe Torre would talk to them about this. Like, you could be crap all year. You're not going to have a great year. You're never going to get to a point where you look up and the numbers are what you want them to be. But if you help us down the stretch here, that's all we'll remember. And right now, the only thing we remember about Pete Alonso is a no-show in any kind of clutch at bat this entire year. That's all the Met fan knows of Pete Alonso this year. And if he changes that narrative by getting hot here and carrying the team while Lindor is on the shelf and goes into the playoffs and plays well, I'm telling you, the narrative would be and the feeling about this year for him will be different. You know what? Tough year. It happens. I mean, was unbelievable for us down the stretch and into the postseason. That will be the story. And playing in New York in the postseason, if he's concerned about his contract, which unfortunately I think he very much is, that'll help him get paid too. This is the time for Pete Alonso to step up. There's just no doubt about it. He's got to be the guy. I mean, Vientos is slumping, but you'd like him to do something. J.D. Martinez is brought here. The professional at bats we've heard of J.D. Martinez. You know, he unlocked Vientos. Be nice if he showed up. He's been absolutely nowhere. So, I mean, it's a nice win. The pitching has been incredible. And they're a game up on Atlanta, who lost to the Dodgers last night and are banged up and have not played well here. And the Mets have every opportunity to make this last wild card spot and get into the postseason. But I'm sorry. I just find it, they're not going to do it 2-1 every night. They're just not. And I know they scored some runs against Philadelphia, a couple of 3-run home runs in that first game, and then blew the doors off them late. But besides that, I mean, they're just not scoring runs, this team. This offense, every game is the same thing. It's you know, scoreless through six, almost on a nightly basis. They've got to wake up, because I can't imagine the pitching being so dominant the rest of the way that you're going to be able to get to the promised land. You got to have someone step in for Lindor. And let's be honest, even when Lindor comes back, you're telling me that he's going to be 100%? And after not playing for however many games, like, I don't expect him to come back and just be gangbusters. Like, you have to figure out a way to get more offense going right now, because they just consistently do nothing. And it's hard to rely on the pitching and rely on, you know, Taylor and Iglesias. Those are nice stories. They fit this narrative of the team having something special, and maybe narrative is even unfair. They do have something special going on. They do. But, like, you want those guys to be pieces who, you know, who come through in a big moment here or there. They can't be the driving force of your team. And right now they're relying on starting pitching, you know, a couple of guys you felt better about in the back end of the bullpen, and a couple of clutch hits here or there. And that's a very difficult way to finish out the season on a tough schedule, to try and beat out the Atlanta Braves, who have played their best in September, the last 4 or 5 years, including a World Series championship. So now's the time, Pete.